Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, it's Botcast time. It is that time of month again, when you're in your car with nothing better to do than pop in the CD and listen to Nigel. I'm here, and this month I've got someone with me who has been through a number of different guises during his time within the Entrepreneur Circle. It's he's a master of guises, which is different to disguises.
Yeah,
just to be clear. Andy Wilcox is here.
Hello.
And how you doing, Andre?
Yeah, I'm okay. I haven't got my disguise on the day of my glasses and little plastic moustache. So.
No,
I do movements again, and nobody can see me.
Yeah, you were making fun of me last week because I was running the very first of my Inner Circle meetings in Slough.
Oh, yeah.
And you thought it was very funny.
Yeah, home of David Brent.
I think that's a little bit harsh. You know, I see myself as a boss first, friend second.
Chilled out entertainer third.
Oh, you got it. boom. are you going to see the film?
Yes, it's next week, I think.
Is
I think
right?
We're all going as office. All of us are going together.
Really?
Yeah, and cameras back. Yeah,
you've messed that up because this next week, this is not going out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
September.
That's right. I've already seen it. It's brilliant.
So, in a David Brent free podcast, I promise you, we've got quite a lot of things to come through today. You've been very busy in your new role, your new guise.
Yes.
As membership director.
Yes.
Now, does that mean you direct the... Ah, I see what you've done there.
Yeah, you like that?
I see what you've done there. Yeah. You're not.
Some little letters after my name.
You're not. Yes, MD, that's quite funny. So what are you getting up to in this new role then? What's it all about? What does a membership director do?
Well, really, it ensures that my main task, really, and the thing I really want to get through is that all our businesses that are members of us make progress. So, we're marking it as they go along, because at the moment we're not quite following people's progress, and I want to follow it more. So I'm going to get them to report in, especially the PIA members, every month, the progress that they're making with their business in terms of cash coming in and amount of customers and amount of conversions that they made. So it's just following their progress and just keeping them sort of on their goals.
Yeah,
really,
because we do a lot of this within Mastermind and indeed within Inner Circle. Well, because we all come together with a degree of frequency. But obviously, at PIA level, which is, just to be clear, someone else today did think we were talking about the Pakistan International Airline, which is not what PIA stands for. It is our Planning, Implementation and Accountability membership that you're now responsible for. So you've got people like Frahana and Jess and Sinead and James and others in there as the BGSMs, as the Business Growth Support Managers, and you're asking them, the BGSMs, to take responsibility for asking their members for certain numbers. Is that right?
Yes.
What sort of things? What are you tracking?
Well, it's numbers that every business owner should know, but I want them to report back to me, so that the first thing I want to know is what their break-even amount is, and you should all know this. How much does it cost to keep your business running every month? How much does it cost to keep the doors open? Because let's say you're sort of £2,000 under every month. Month two, that's going to be £4,000. Month three is going to be £6,000. It's going to go on like that. So I really have to make sure that you know what your break-even point is, and I need to know what we need to know what the break-even point is as well. So that's quite important. As is the second thing, which is your cash flow statement. So how much cash is actually coming to business, because cash is king.
Well, we talked a lot about this at the regional meetings back in April, and indeed if you weren't at those April meetings, or you haven't yet gone through the knowing your numbers MBA in half a day, it's actually in about 2 hours, implementation plan, which is available in the Achieve 365 in the implementation library. That cash flow statement is absolutely, it's so useful as a business owner. And the great thing is, if you're using QuickBooks or Xero, any of the cloud accounting systems, then in most of those cases, you simply have to press one button at the end, at the end, once it's set up properly, and it produces your cash flow statement, and it starts to tell you whether you generated surplus cash last month or whether you actually consumed cash. And knowing that is a really, really valuable thing to know, because it's so much different to profit and loss.
No, correct.
Because P&L is not cash. That's a very, very useful thing. So we've got break-even level, cash flow statement. What else are you tracking?
What the sort of the average customer value is, or average order value. So I want to know, on average, how much a customer is worth to you per transaction or per order that you're
funny, it's a funny thing, because whenever I ask this question, even to people who are genuinely very intelligent and very smart people, and you say, so what's the average transaction size? And they say, well, it depends. I say, well, no, it doesn't. Because an average is an average. I know the transaction size depends. I recognise that you'll have some customers spend a lot of money and some spend not a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the average is a mathematical, it is that there's one answer. And you take all your transactions in a period of time, whether that's a month or a year, and divide them by the number, and you get the average transaction value. And why is that an important number to know, Andy?
Well, it's important because when we find out what your goal is for the year, your turnover rate, I want us to work out how many more transactions you need to be able to get to that to that position. And also, it mustn't be confused with a lifetime value, which is something different again. But at this point for PIA, I just want the average order value.
Okay. Next number?
Number of customers served in that 1 month. So how many people have you been taking money off of, and how many have you served? How many have been into the shop and giving you money?
So this will be different for different businesses, won't it? Because some businesses will be very cyclical.
Yes.
So they'll have lots of customers in the summer, say, and in the winter, or vice versa. Some businesses, a bit like ours, for instance, we're a membership business, or an IT company might be looking after servers that they've got on
contract,
support.
Yeah.
Contracts, whatever. So that, I guess, that number of customers piece will vary a little bit depending on what each business does. But I can understand that as a key number. And you got one more, haven't you?
Yeah, one more is number of inquiries or quotations that they've given out, because a lot of the time businesses are very good at bringing in leads, but sometimes it's just the conversion process that needs a little bit of work on it. So I want to see that if you're getting loads and loads of inquiries coming in and quotations, but you're not getting very many customers, then there's something wrong with the conversion there. And it's not a marketing funnel, it's a marketing colander. As we like to say, there's some leads dropping out somewhere and not turning into customers. So I want to make sure that your conversion rates are well. And once I have all those five numbers, it gives us a fantastic view, and you, a fantastic view of your business. And real clarity
it helps. I guess once you've got that, you've got the kind of, you've got objective information with which you can use as a base to plan, haven't you? And I'd like to talk about planning if I can on this particular podcast, because I've just gone through the initial meetings with all my inner circle members. So we've got 10 groups away, and we have sat down, and those initial meetings were looking at where each business is at now, where that business wants to be at the end of next year, and critically, and it is really important, this bit, why it matters to the business owner that's where they are at the end of next year. And that why it matters is a really, really important factor. And in actual fact, the smart way to plan your business is to start with that, why does it matter? What do I want to do? And what I mean by that is the best way to go about this. Because if people say, let me go back to the basics. People will say, I want to grow from £500,000 a year to £750,000 next year. So 50% growth next year. Now, and you say, well, why? Why do you want to do that? And what will come out then typically is some fairly fuzzy, fluffy thing about moving their life forward and their business forward, and sometimes what will come out is, well, I want to grow by 50% and work a lot less. And I say, well, that's not going to happen, because to grow any business by 50%, you're probably going to have to work a bit more in the short term to make that happen. But why does it matter? Where's this 50% growth come from? And in actual fact, it's the wrong place to start. The place to start is to start with the life that you are leading, and go right back to basics and say, well, where do I want to live? It might even be who do you want to live with, but we're getting a bit deep. So where you want to live. You know, and look at the important, well, I said important, look at some of the key elements in your life. Where you're living, what you're driving, where you're going on holiday, mm-hmm. what you're doing. You know, I mean, of a weekend or of an evening, or, you know, what are you wearing? You know, handbags and shoes for some people are a big deal. And start to map out the ideal lifestyle for you. And I'm not prescribing here or saying, you know, what it should be. Only you will know what's the right kind of lifestyle for you. But map it out, paint that picture, and list the things in there. So, and then once you've got those things listed, you can start to put a price on them.
Mm.
So, oh, I don't know, if you want to drive an F-type Jag, well, it's probably going to cost you £800 a month. I mean, that's ballpark, you know. If you want to move house, well, then do some research and understand, well, what the mortgage is likely to be and what the what your council is going to be, and you can work out what it's going to cost to get there and what the moving fees are, etc. And you can start to paint a picture of where and put a price on everything. If you want the kids, I mean, the kids in private school is a big deal for me because I've had four children through private school. Now, that's you know, that's £60,000 a year after tax. So hang on, I've got to earn £100,000 to put the kids through school. So I've got to earn £100,000. I've got nowhere to live and nothing to eat.
What about your handbag?
But the so no, but it's helpful because it gets you to start thinking at the right level. Because then when you start to say, oh crap, so now the business needs to generate this amount of money, whatever it might be. It might be £50,000, it might be £150,000, it might be £350,000, whatever it might be. But now we've got some reasons why. And now let's look at the business and look at what needs to happen. And so some of the biggest breakthroughs we've had, for instance, in Mastermind, have involved people putting up their prices.
Mm.
Now, putting up the prices can be a difficult thing for a business owner to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of head trash goes with that. And if you don't have to do it, most people would prefer not to, because there is potential conflict, there's potential lost customers, there's difficult conversations. I'll do without it. But if you've got that lifestyle mapped and the things in there are not just what you'd like to happen, but the things that really matter to you. The kids in school is a really good one.
Yeah.
And I know there's other things. People have got their pets and things, but kids kind of works. I can talk a lot about the kids because I've been there. It's like the Disney holidays. Do you know we're only four families short now of 100 EC families doing Disney?
Really?
Yeah. And that's the ones I know. I'm pretty sure. So it's because the Disney holiday works. Because once you book the holiday at Disney, it's going to cost you, let's say, £10,000. Now, you could book that holiday for next October half term, say. So 13 months from now, you could book that holiday. You have to put down a £500 or £1,000 deposit. And you have then got effectively, 10 months to find the other £9,000?
Yeah.
Now that's £900 a month. Now there's not a business owner listening to this podcast that couldn't generate, if their life depended on it,
yeah,
an extra £900 next month to... Does that make sense? This is how people plan properly. Yeah. And it'll be interesting when you get into some of the conversations, you know, when people like Jess and James and Sinead and Frahana and yourself are talking to members around the progress reports this month. Be interesting to get that level of clarity around the lifestyle that the business is there to do. Because for all of us, in truth, and there are one or two exceptions, but the business is a means to an end. It's about something more. Even EC for me is, you know, there's something. It's more than just the business. It's a bit about legacy and making a difference and things. And there's always, for all of us, there's something beyond the business.
Yeah.
And keeping connected with what it is for you is a really important piece. Mm. And that flows in actually to this is almost like it's been scripted. This
wow.
I would have thought it flows in nicely, Andy, to the third topic I want to talk about today, which is 90 minutes. And before you go switching off, don't switch off. I know I've spoken about 90 minutes a lot over the last 7 or 8 or 9 years, but that's because the 90 minutes makes such a big difference. And I want to celebrate a couple of things here, because we had in mid-August the first EC member went through the first 100-day streak. I don't mean he was wearing no clothes. At least I hope he had something on. But Stephen Markham, who is in Mastermind with me this year, Stephen Markham is a dedicated follower of 90 Minute Tracker. And the 90 Minute Tracker is a little tool that's available on the EC Hub. It's available to all members. It costs you nothing. It allows you to go on there and you've got a little calendar and you're able to plan up to 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time what you're going to do in each of your 90 minute slots. So you start to map out the work you've got to get done. So it gives you clarity of what you've got to achieve. And then you're able to go in each day and tick it off. And each day you do your 90 minutes, your one gets added to your streak. You're allowed the weekend off, so a full streak is Monday to Friday. Although you can do Saturday if you want to, but you don't lose your streak if you don't. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's
changed its business, isn't it?
Oh, completely. And it's not the only one. But I won't lie. I mean, there are 63 members of Entrepreneur Circle using this 90 minute tracker every day.
Yeah.
63 of them, which means there are many hundreds who are not using it ever. And I wanted to talk about it in the podcast because if you're not using the 90 minute tracker, you are probably making a mistake. Mm. And it's a mistake that will be coming at a reasonably hefty price. Because everything in life comes at a price. And I know if you're not using the 90 minute tracker, one of the reasons why you're not using it is because you're not actually doing your 90 minutes. Because if you're doing your 90 minutes every day, using the 90 minute tracker is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Because it's a little icon open on your desktop. It's just dead easy to click in there and keep a track of it. And it's a little bit like going to the gym, you know. But once you get into habit and you need to go every day and kind of keep it moving. And by focusing your efforts on doing your 90 minutes every day, that's how your business makes progress. It's how you influence all the measures that you guys are recording on the progress reports. It's how you fulfill and bring about and make happen the planned lifestyle that you've mapped out for yourself. And without the 90 minute trackers, your progress, your strategy for progress is vacuous. And that's why it's such an important thing, really.
How to work on your £900 a month you need for your Disney.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, how easy would that be? Yeah. You know, it isn't. It makes it much more straightforward. So I wanted to just pick up on and make sure I mentioned both those things. How to plan properly by starting with the things outside the business, the lifestyle, what it means to you, and then how the 90-minute tracker can feed into that. And both those elements drive into the progress reports that are now coming on the line for our PIA members.
The podcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Okay, so, you moving house?
Oh, yeah. What a palaver that's been.
Hopefully. I've got a little theory about this, because I think everyone involved in moving house in the UK, well, it's different in Scotland, but in, although no one in the EC is in Scotland anymore, are they?
I don't think so.
That's not quite true. Hello, Judith. Actually, there's quite a few. Actually, I think about it. Hello, Tim. Hello, David. Hello, James. Okay, the new stay with us, Scotland. The law is different up in there when you move in house. In this country, everyone knows that the process when you move house is just massively flawed. All this, you put your offer in, but it's not contractually binding until you exchange contract. But what happens is everybody goes through the process. And so you've been quite stressed, I know, by things that happened.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you work in business, and entrepreneurs and people work in businesses like this, it's very frustrating to put things in other people's hands, because you just become a bit of, you know, you just want to control things, don't you? When you're relying on two different sets of solicitors, and then two different sets of estate agents, and then the people themselves who are buying the house off, and the people you're selling to, it's very, very frustrating. And all I wanted to do was, because I had a lot of trouble selling to this lady, because she had some issues with the house, which I knew that I could sort out myself, because I could have gone and closed it myself, but I had to rely on the estate agent forming that relationship with her, that which I knew he couldn't do as good as I could, because we weren't in the house, you see, because it was empty, because we're up here. So that was frustrating, because it always goes back to relationships again. I knew that I could go down and charm her, you know, and with some David Brentisms, but I knew that he wouldn't do a good a job to me. So long story short, our neighbour has got a van, and she was worried that this van was, I don't know, going to turn into a transformer and kill her, and then something ridiculous. She was worried about this van, and I knew that all the neighbours in that area have not moved since the whole estate's been built. And I knew that if I could tell that story to her about one neighbour moved two doors away, that they love the area so much. If I could go down and tell that story, that it would win her over. But she didn't want to meet me for some reason. So I actually, this is ridiculous. I know it sounds ridiculous now I'm saying it back, but I actually wrote a sort of script for the estate agent to go through about how the neighbours have stayed and they've moved two doors away, and we all give each other Christmas cards, and we had a little Queen's Jubilee celebrate, all that stuff. I wrote that for him. I think speaking to him only this morning, I think that's what swung it, because she was wanting to pull out because of a van, and he sat her down and said, look, these
the
are all the
prospect
things.
Of a Jubilee yeah, street party.
Yeah. So
save the day.
Yes. So I stepped in by, and we always talk about how stories sell stuff, and that I had to write a story which was true to sell her on the house. Oh God, frustrating, isn't it?
I've got a story for you.
Is it house related?
Well, kind of. It bears no relation to business whatsoever, I don't think. But I'll tell you this story. It happened a long, long time ago when I had just started work. In fact, this happened in 1984. Okay, so a long time ago.
I was still at primary school.
And I'd just started work at Barclays in Leeds. And I was working in a branch on Albion Street in Leeds. And what we used to have to do, everything at that time was run by the branch. So the branch was kind of semi-autonomous in everything it did. And that included debt collection. And so if customers were not, you know, behind on payments, on loans or overdrafts, whatever else, and they weren't responding to correspondence and they weren't answering the phone, we used to have to go and see them.
From the bank?
From the branch, the staff in the branch. So now there were very strict rules around it. So you used to have to go, two people had to go. And it was always planned. And so this particular night, I was the very junior member of the team. So I went out with a guy called Graham Brammer. And Graham was very well spoken. And Graham was the loans officer or lending officer in the branch at the time. So we drove off after work in Graham's car to this not particularly nice part of Leeds. And the first house we were looking to talk to a Mr. Griff, I remember his name now, who was behind on some payments on his overdraft or his loan or something. And so we found Mr. Griff's house, we parked up outside, and the garden was very overgrown. I mean, it wasn't very well kept at all. And in the garden, looching about, was quite a large Alsatian dog.
Great. Did it run at you?
No. So I was a little bit of, I was a very timid kind of 18-year-old at this time. And so we tentatively stepped into the garden, and the dog came towards us just nice and passively, had a little sniff, and it was actually a very, very friendly dog. And so we knocked on the door, and this guy opened the door, and Graham, my colleague, said, Mr. Griffiths, Mr. Bottrell, can we come in and talk to you? So we walked into his front room, and we sat down on these sofas, and nothing wrong with the house, it was okay. And the dog followed us in, normal thing. And so we started to talk, and Graham, I'm just sat there, I'm just the number two guy. You know, I've got no part in this meeting really at all, but I'm sat there. And I noticed a few minutes into this meeting, this big Alsatian dog crouches down and does a dump.
Oh.
In the middle of the lounge floor.
Oh.
There's this steaming turd of dog poo in this house. I'm thinking, oh my God, this is gross, this is disgusting. And the bloke just like never flinches, like never moves at all. And Graham clearly kind of clocks it a little bit. So we, the meeting didn't last very long, and we reached some way forward, and he agreed to sort out and bring his payments back up to date. And I'm thinking, I can't wait to get, this is like horrible, I can't believe that people live like this. Yeah. This is just really terrible. And as we leave the house at the end of the meeting, so we're going out the door, and so we walk out the door, and he says, are you taking your dog with you? Because he genuinely thought...
You brought a dog with you?
If you get behind on your payments at Barclays, they bring this massive Alsatian round.
Crap in
your shit on your door.
Leave you a deposit.
So, well, we were mortified. Because he sat there, and it turns out it wasn't his dog. It was not his dog. And he thought it was our dog. And we thought it was his dog. And this dog's come in. So, anyway, tell that stuff off. You like that story? Nothing to do with just a little little podcast interjection. Well, let's talk about your regional meeting, shall we?
Oh, lovely.
Which pet are you going to take to the regional meeting?
I don't know. I might take a little monkey or so. Yes, so the regional meetings. I'm taking on the regional meetings, and I'm looking forward to it because at the end of each regional meeting, I'm gonna host a meal.
You're gonna get fed.
Well, the deal is that the members are cover their own tab for the meal, but I just want to get this community back together. And I know that when we're out on the road as BJs, we used to stay back with the members, and they really love that, you know, that time together. So it'd be the same sort of format as it is now. So it's for every membership, actually, the Vault Plus meetings, our new Essentials membership, and PIA, and of course Inner Circle, very welcome to come along. I'll run some content in the morning as the sessions run now. Then in the afternoon, we'd either do a work workshop or a hot seat session, because there's so much value you can get that from that working on other people's businesses. And then I'll run that meal in the evening,
okay,
which will be lovely.
So you're not cooking?
Well, no. My cooking skills aren't that good, unless I'm with the lovely Mary Berry, of course.
I've always got to get it in there.
You have a little thing with Mary Berry, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, Mary used to like cuddling me when I did the first stuff cover for the book.
Mary used to like cuddling me.
Yeah, I used to keep her warm because she gets very cold.
So this is in your previous life.
Yes.
When you were an entrepreneur yourself, you had your own first aid business.
Yeah.
And you were contracted to provide first aid support.
Well, interesting story. I got to do the first aid course for the production company. Off the back of a 90p Google AdWords. So I went there, but before I went there, I researched the business top to bottom because it had something in productions. I thought, this would be interesting. And throughout the whole course, I was aiming myself to doing the cover for the Bake Off. So, because the year before, someone cut their hands quite badly and the whole glove was filling with blood, and it made news. So throughout the whole course, I was saying, "Oh, of course, if I was on that show, I would have put this on, and we would have done a plaster like this. We would have done a bandage." And I said, "You should really get me down there." And they were thinking about it. And as I drove away, I emailed them as I was sat in my car driving through Bristol, saying, "Oh, it was great to see you all today. Just a little follow up. It'd be great if I could do the cover." And they got me down to do one show just to keep me quiet, I think. Unfortunately, 9 people cut their hands that day. So
really?
I managed to do that. Yeah, it was the first episode. 9 of them cut their hands. I had someone in the hospital, and they said, "I think you better come for the rest of the show." And so I did lots of shows with them, and I worked in her house as well, up in London. So I watered her roses.
Well, there you go.
There you go. See,
next month on the podcast,
yeah,
Andy Gray bought my fridge.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
Okay, next month.
No,
let's keep suspense.
Okay,
suspense. Andy Gray bought my fridge on the podcast. Next month. Should we talk Philippines?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. We've the Filipino government have been in touch with EC because of the impact that our little presentation at the national event has had on employment levels in the Philippines.
Yeah.
There are dozens of EC businesses now that employ their own little Filipino boy or girl. I think every business should have one.
Cameron's like the middleman. They keep ringing up and how do I get these people?
Mr. Filipino, yeah. It's working really well. Onlinejobs.ph have changed their business model since the national event. You do now have to kind of pay a little bit of money to actually be able to post jobs and meet with people and talk to people and stuff. It's not a lot. It's still well worth doing. And lots of success stories. I'm aware lots of people now have got Filipinos working either part-time or full-time for not a lot of money UK terms, but actually quite a lot of money Filipino terms. Doing work, technical work, development work, graphics, design work, finance, bookkeeping, purchase ledger work, that sort of thing. There's some people doing some admin stuff as well. So working really well. I know a number of people have heard that talk or seen myself and Cameron on stage at the NEC and thought about it as a good idea but not done anything. And it's a really good time. And there are lots of your fellow ECers have now kind of pioneered the path through there, and because there's lots of people using it and it's working very, very well. So a little reminder, it's a great way to get a lot more stuff done for, you know, really very, very cost effectively. And just to be clear, we're not exploiting these people at all. The people that you get, certainly through sites like onlinejobs.ph, these are some of the best people in the Philippines. It's very prestigious for them. It's to work for a Western company. The pay that, well, I said it's not a lot of money for us, is a lot of money for them. Cost of living in the Philippines is a fraction of what it is here. You can live really very well on £500 a month in the Philippines.
Such lovely people to deal with as well.
Very much so.
The emails they write are beautiful.
And very loyal.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. It's a very good thing indeed. Have I got time, he says. Just checking his clock. I think we have got time. One more thing. I want to talk about little things making a big difference. And it is interesting because you talked about the lady buying your house and the concern that she had over the neighbour's van that sometimes parked on a driveway, which is a little thing in the context of the whole transaction and the house and everything else. A neighbour's van parked is a little thing, but it makes a big difference. We lost a member last week. I saw the email come in from her. And she said, I'm leaving EC. I'm going, she listed something she said, and she said, I'm going, I don't want to be a member of an organisation that can't send post to the right address. And essentially, it turns out when I investigate that she's rung up on two occasions and advised us that she's changed her address. And somehow that has not found its way onto the right system. There's only one system, for goodness sake, whereby when the list is pulled up every month for the circulars, so we've been sending circulars to the wrong address. And that's a little thing in the whole context of what EC does. It's a little thing, but it makes a big difference. And you know, when I hear things like that, it's kind of it wounds. I mean, you know, it really does hurt. Think, oh my god, and it's so frustrating. How can we do that? But they're the little things that make a big difference. I had a workman do some work on my house recently, and fundamentally, he did a very good job. And he bagged up all the rubbish, and he vacuumed every day. But he left the rubbish in my garage. And that's a little thing that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Now, when I talked about it, he says, well, if I take it to the tip, I have to pay. And if you take it to the tip.
Oh.
And it's a little thing that makes a big difference. And every one of us in business are susceptible to this. I told a story at the regional meetings a few weeks ago about my son's 21st birthday and the service at the particular restaurant that we use very often. Now, it was particularly bad that night. And interestingly, just last weekend, we were going out to meet some friends. Oh, shall we go to this place, like the same restaurant? And Sue says, no, it's not very good there. Because it's a little thing that makes a big difference. And as business owners, we kind of forget this at our peril, and we're all susceptible to it. I know I am, that's why I use that example. You know, I know we make, you know, seemingly silly, stupid errors occasionally in EC. I also know, just to be clear, in percentage terms, it's a tiny number, but they're little things that make a big difference. And I'm talking about it here because the same thing will be happening in your business. There'll be little things that are making a big difference. And the good news is it kicks both ways.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Because, you know, you can do little things that actually
go
that inch further than they expected, and it makes a big difference the other way.
A local pub reopened after 7 months the other day with a brand new landlord. And on the first day, he went in and he must have an amazing memory, but he was learning what people's drinks were. So when you went back to the bar, he went, oh, it's a pint of so-and-so, isn't it? And you were like, I'm like, yes. And it was just that little thing, him remembering what it was. And one of the guys was getting gin and tonics, and there was two types of gin, and he remembered that his wife didn't like a certain one, and he goes, oh, it's this one, isn't it? And you're like, this guy's amazing. It's just like landlords were in the old days. And it's a bit, but that is just a tiny little thing, remembering what the drink is. But you're like, this guy's amazing, I'm going to come back all the time. So you're right, positive little things as well. I mean, we were talking about negative ones, but positive, just little things, you know, when we send things to members in the post. And, you know, only last week, one of the members opened a new pub, another pub. Sounds like I'm addicted to him. And she sent a balloon that when you opened up a balloon of, this is Sinead, one of the BGSMs, you opened up the box and a balloon of a beer glass pops up and says congratulations on it. That was only a little thing, but I absolutely love that. And it's just, it just shows you're thinking about people.
And because you can't systemize this either.
No.
But you can systemize out the errors, but it's hard to systemize in the upsides. You just have to be attuned to them. And it's one of the biggest tests of when you look at your staff and your people. Mm. Are they able? Are they capable? Are they willing to spot these things? Because when you spot them, the small things make a big difference the other way.
That's right.
And I like to think, you know, Andy, in its own way, the podcast, it's only a small thing.
Yeah.
But if we do it well, one day, maybe it could make a big difference.
Just a little thing they might have heard on there and think, I'll do that next time.
This is David Brent and Ricky Gervais, live from Slough.
Yeah.
On the road in Solihull. Podcast is finished. We're done. We've got no more to... We're out of time.
Yeah.
So I hope it's been helpful for you. A little bit more back to the kind of usual... routine. Got a little surprise for you next month, and I will, all being well, I've made a little note, I will remember to tell you the story of when Andy Gray bought my fridge.
Can't wait.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Podcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.